Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, a proud new member of the On3 Network. And Brandon Huffman joined me on the network today. Greg Biggins has been over here for just a short period of time. This is an exciting move.
I'm excited. And just so you know, I'm actually 6'2". So these guys are just really tall right now. No, obviously right here, you were one of the first guys I called when I came over. I want to say back in December, November, December, whenever it was. So we badly needed a new Colorado site. And you've been the best for as long as I can remember. So I'm so glad that you guys are over here. Obviously, Huff and I go kind of back a little bit. We're kind of good friends and all. So getting my tag team partner back out west is amazing. So I'm stoked to have you guys both on the site, Rivals and On3. It's going to be a good time.
Brandon, a big move for both of us here, all three of us.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because I was actually in Colorado, you know, when I made the decision that I was going to make this move over in Boulder, one of those days, in fact. And, you know, shortly after I signed, I know I reached out to you, and I know that Greg had already been starting to lay that groundwork. And, you know, when we want the best in the business, we want the best in the business, and you are by far the best in the business. The Colorado coverage you've done is unparalleled, and it will continue to be. And now, like, the whole gang's back together, and it's been, you know, kind of the perfect time as, you know, we see a different landscape in college sports. What we don't see different is your dominance in that Colorado market. So it's great to have you over, me and Greg, be back together. But, you know, a guy that we admire from afar, we didn't work with you, and then we've been able to spend the last decade with you. And so, you know, this is the dawning kind of a new day, and it's gonna be a great time. I'm excited about the vision, the future of On3 and Rivals. Stoked to have Buff Stampede over, and it's gonna be some a fun next decade, 15 years or so.
I hope so. Yeah, it should be a great time. Greg, we've gone back a long ways. I think you had mentioned that Rick Neuheisel was the first connection that we had when he ran a Nike camp in Boulder. What are your memories of Colorado and Boulder, and just kind of what that program has meant to that region?
So I'm old, right? So I'm the oldest guy in this room. I go back to the 80s, and I had a good friend of mine who was from Denver, and he kind of got me, you know, interested in Colorado right around the time when Rocket Ishmael was returning a kickoff for a touchdown with some, you know, just horrific blocking in the back on that play. But I was a huge Darian Hagan, Eric Bieniemy, Michael Westbrook, Canavis McGee. The name just kind of fly off. Alfred Williams, so many guys. Dion Figures, they just keep popping in. I love the helmets. I love the Buffalo. I love the jerseys. I love their style of play. I was a big Bill McCartney fan from way back. Heard him speak multiple times, Promise Keepers. So, yeah, Neuheisel, that was my first time actually being on campus. I've always said, man, that's probably a top three or four campus for me. Absolutely gorgeous with the Colorado River right there. And I actually went down that one time, and a couple of guys almost cracked their heads open on those down the raft. So, no, long history with CU. Love the program. The direction we're going in, I think it's, you know, hopefully we're going to be trending right back up, right? And I know Huff will talk more about that. But no, I'm excited about what's going on right now with CU.
Obviously, Colorado has not recruited the high school ranks as much under Coach Prime as they had. I mean, it's kind of a changing landscape, Brandon. How do you view Colorado's recruiting efforts, the way they've gone about it? And now it seems like they're kind of getting back into the high school game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously when you're trying to rebuild a program that needs a complete roster overhaul, you hit the portal. We've seen schools that have had great success doing that, you know, kind of fast-track them to success, but you still want to sustain a good chunk of your program with high school recruits. You want to develop those guys. And I think you're starting to see a little bit more of an emphasis on that with Colorado. Obviously, Coach Prime made it easy when he first got there. Like, we need a lot of guys. We need them to be able to play right away. So you had to go to the portal. We saw obviously what Indiana was able to do with the portal, but now once you start to get that built up, then you can start to rely more heavily on high school. And you're seeing that a lot more with Colorado. You know, you take a guy like Brendan Marion, who when he got to Sacramento State, nobody was talking about Sac State. Sac State all of a sudden isn't being mentioned with guys that have SEC offers. He understood that the lifeblood of that program was by recruiting high school. So now he gets to Colorado. I think Coach Prime sees the importance of that, and you're starting to see more high school offers go out. And more particularly, you're seeing them in state, you know, going after guys like a Trey Milo out of Denver Mullen, who's already said that he's planning to take an official visit to Colorado in the summer or in the late spring. He's planning to get up there for an unofficial visit. The one that really kind of, you know, was more like, wow, this is definitely a kind of a turning of a new leaf, was when they offered Titus Heward, the quarterback at Valor Christian in Highlands Ranch. His old coach, or his head coach there, is the old interim coach, Mike Sanford. But that was an offer that I don't know that you would have seen be made 2 years ago, especially with, you know, not a lot of experience that Titus had. But I think when you see some more of the offers going in-state, that gives you hope that, like, hey, we don't have to recruit everybody in the state. Even the biggest schools in the country with the biggest states don't offer all the kids. But you want to at least be involved with a lot of those key kids. But then you also want to capitalize on the success that Colorado has had on a national scale the last couple of years with the Heisman Trophy winner, with NFL draft picks, and go into markets down in the South. Go into Texas. Go into other parts of the country that, you know, the Colorado brand is now kind of been reaffirmed and reestablished. Go out west, go to some of those states that you were in the Pac-12 with, but now they're in the Big 12 with, and kind of target those guys. And the more that you can get that kind of Colorado appeal to the high school kids, I think the better your high school recruiting becomes, and there's less reliance on the portal at that point. And I think they're starting to see that, that that's a good kind of maneuver to kind of pivot to slowly but surely.
Greg, how has your job changed at all during this new era of college football?
I mean, we talked, you know, NIL and how it radically has changed the our ability to probably, you know, predict where a kid's going. You know, I think obviously people talk about NIL and how difficult it is for, you know, the programs that have less than, right? It's now become who's going to offer me the biggest bag. And so for us, again, and just talking about our jobs, you know, making predictions are kind of getting a feel for where player recruitment was headed. It was, okay, relationship with the player coach, the family relationship, the early playing time, the location, West Coast, why do you want to stay on the West Coast? Maybe leaving a little bit of academics, but now it's like it's all NIL. It's probably one of the top two or three reasons why. And then again, you can think of players going here at 10 a.m. and then 11 a.m. he's going somewhere else because this other school kind of jumped in there and offered a little bit more. So people will kind of wonder how big is NIL. It's huge right now. And some schools have a lot of NIL and some schools don't. And the schools that are finishing the top 10 in recruiting are the ones that, hey, coincidentally, they have a lot of money to give out to the players. So I would say that's probably been the biggest radical change for me and what I've seen over the last 5 years in recruiting.
Brandon, how do we fix college football? I mean, that is the most loaded question.
It's a little open-ended. glad you gave that one to Huff.
I mean, you're at the point now where I think the toothpaste is so far out of the tube that it's unfixable in what I think the fans want it to be, you know. And I think it all depends on who you're a fan of, because there are fans of certain fan bases that love the direction that it's gone. I mean, if you're speaking of the Big 12, if you're a Texas Tech fan, you love the new era of college football. You went from being the school that was maybe the fifth best option in the state to now being able to win recruiting battles that you typically weren't winning years ago. And I think there's a lot of schools that say, hey, this new model is sustainable for us as a program. Maybe we have deep-pocketed boosters. Maybe we have, you know, so much brand appeal that kids are going to want to play. And then you're at other schools where it's like, hey, we won because our coaches were the best evaluators. They were the best developers. And now that's no longer going to be an option. But if the playoff field expands, I mean, do we think any of us ever saw 3 years ago Indiana losing its Power Four program in college football be a national championship 2 years later? The ability to get quickly fixed is there. So there's a lot of things about college football that need fixing. But at the same time, you now are of an era where you're not relying on Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia and Ohio State being the only four schools competing. Now a lot of schools can compete. And even if there's talk about the turn, you know, the playoffs expanding from 12 teams to 16 to 24, more teams have an opportunity if the resources are there, if the donors and the boosters buy in. And I think that there's a lot of things that have given other schools a chance that they maybe didn't have before. But there needs to be some regulation of some sort. I mean, we've all been able to earn a career and a living off the playing of college football players. By all means, these guys should be getting taken care of and be getting compensated. But there's certain things that I think if they were in place, it would maybe make for a much more even playing field. But I think that the parity has never been greater. And I think the ratings are reflective of that. People are getting up 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning to watch games. They're staying up to 11:30 to watch games. We're seeing games being played on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays and Fridays because people just have such an insatiable appetite for college football that there's so much good, but it seems to be overtaken by all the doom and gloom of the bad. So there are certain things that need to be fixed, some things that maybe just need to be tinkered with. But if you can get all that under control, this becomes still the greatest sport that we all get to watch.
I agree. Greg, Brandon, you guys are all-stars. You're not the only all-stars that we're joined on this network, though. It's pretty exciting what we're about to do here at On3. So appreciate everybody out there on BuffStampede.com for joining us over on the On3 network.